97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
An interesting article from our friend John Ziegler out in Los Angeles. And I had no idea what it was about because it's from the Missouri Independent. He says, read this and let me know when you want me to comment. I thought, okay, and the headline... John's always very modest, right? But here's the thing, Sue. I think you'll have appreciation for this because you've heard him on this topic. I also think you've not been totally in on this. Mm. But the story is credibility. This is an interesting connection. Credibility of state's expert witness questioned in Missouri transgender healthcare trial. And what it says is Missouri's defense of a state law barring minors from beginning puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones will depend on whether the judge in the case puts stock in expert witnesses touting retracted studies and conspiracy theories about Jerry Sandusky. Well, this will get John's hackles up because it's not a conspiracy. And look, I will say this, and I'm about to explain this a little bit to people, but... I've listened to John's podcast, and I was someone who doubted in what he's done is he's done a series of podcasts on Jerry Sandusky, who, of course, was sent to prison for, in theory, molesting, you know, young boys at Penn State. But the truth of that case is so complicated, and it's there is no better exhibit of media malpractice than the Jerry Sandusky case. And it's very complicated, and I can't explain it all here. But this is what happened in this case. It says Wright County Circuit Court Judge Craig Carter, who's presiding over this lawsuit, will have to weigh the credibility of an expert along with his judgment. Questions of credibility came up yesterday when Missouri Attorney General... In the office, it says Missouri Attorney General's office called as a witness John Michael Bailey, a psychology professor at Northwestern, who testified about how his now retracted study entitled Rapid Onset Gender Dysphoria, which concludes that adolescents identify as transgender as a result of social contagion, which is what they do, by the way. I don't know why they said it's retracted. I'll have to look into that a little bit. But then it says this. It was his social media post about the accusers of Jerry Sandusky that appeared to concern Carter. That's the judge. Sandusky, former football coach, convicted of molesting young boys over a period of at least 15 years. Bailey, Andrew Bailey, repeatedly posted on social media that he believes Sandusky is innocent. Carter says, you believe the people testifying against Jerry Sandusky are lying. Bailey said, I can see that if you're not familiar with the evidence that I'm familiar with, you would be shocked, which is the proper response, by the way. Carter replied, because anyone who, you know, looks at this case, you're going to have that response. But here's where it gets interesting. Bailey said he had listened to a podcast and lauded the work of conservative commentator John Ziegler. Do you know Ziegler? Have you ever talked to anyone that was an eyewitness in that case? Carter asked. I've read testimony, but I have not talked to anyone. And it kind of goes on from there. Now, I sent this back to Zig and said, I know Andrew very well. He loves the show. I think there's a very good chance that Andrew Bailey found the podcast because of this show. But Fred, since you're in the room, John wants to talk about this for sure tomorrow. Okay. So let's get him set up because, and maybe he'll be in a better mood than he was last week because he was super crabby and I had to call him out on that. But that's fascinating. I love that.
Interesting.
Cassie Smedley is with us, VP of COIN, the first credit card for conservatives, former RNC press secretary. Cassie, how are you? Happy Wednesday. I guess it would be Wednesday, right? I'm trying to keep track of the days. I have to lock her in.
With you.
There we go. That was the host. We have a new system here, and every time I go to the phones, I'm not used to pressing the buttons, so I have to train my brain to do that. So I have to ask you how you're doing again. How are you, Cassie?
Well, hey, Mark, I'm great. How are you?
We'll act like that first take didn't even happen. I'm good. I'm curious about your thoughts of what happened last night. I kind of ran it down in the monologue. I thought, you know, if I had to keep a scorecard, I think J.D. Vance did well in probably every area except for two. And I would cite the abortion issue. I don't know that he won that battle with Tim Walz. And, you know, I think even Republican women might not be on the side of where J.D. Vance and Trump are, although there's a more moderate approach than I think certainly in some of the states. And then I think the stolen election stuff just doesn't work. And maybe they seem to think it works, but I don't know why you can't say, let's move on from 2020 and focus on this, which in so many words he did, but that doesn't play well either with the voters. Your thoughts, Cassie?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. However, I think that he got enough points on the board that he won the night without needing those innings. You know, I got to speak in innings today, Mark, because you know I'm a Kansas City girl and the Royals in the playoffs.
Do you know how painful that is for us here in St. Louis?
I know, but you know I had to say it because I never get a chance.
That's okay. We'll root for him. I can root for him because it's a great story, and Bobby Witt Jr. is amazing.
Yes, yes. So with that analogy in mind, I think J.D. Vance had some great home runs early in the evening. He closed out the evening with some home runs so that those innings were fine. Nobody scored any points during those innings. They were made to be disruptor topics, and they weren't. And I think that that, on the whole, you know, if this teaches you anything, if you're just an
We got, hold on, Cassie. We got all kinds of, you sounded like a record that was skipping back in the day. Let's see if we got you a little bit better. Yeah, I don't know what was happening. That was just a weird technical aberration. So, you know, then the overriding question after any of these things is, first of all, who's paying attention? I think the ratings were pretty good, but you always wonder if people are tuning out. And then will it actually, I saw someone kind of put a little funny graph up there with independent voters and then the debate circle. And do independent voters actually pay attention to this? And who the hell are these people? And will this move the needle, I guess, is the bottom line question.
So I think more so than other situations, prior elections, because we're not getting answers, let alone good ones, out of Kamala Harris. So if you're truly undecided, you are looking anywhere you can to try and get more information. And so this debate was a key piece to your puzzle. But then what else you saw? You saw that since J.D. Vance was announced as the vice presidential candidate, vice presidential running mate for Donald Trump, what has the media done? They've demonized him. They've tried to make him sound weird. They've tried to make you think and question that that decision from Donald Trump. And what did we see last night? That literally everything they've tried to paint him to be was them trying to paint him to be something he's not. He came out, he was incredibly charismatic, charming, he was empathetic, and yet he had such a command of the issues. But not only that, he was a great hype man for his running mate. He was a great hype man for Donald Trump and could talk about Donald Trump's record, could honestly do it better than Donald Trump.
Well, that's, you know, a lot of people have made that point. Right. Look, I you probably had texts like this. I was getting texts last night from people, and I saw a couple other folks refer to this on Fox and even CNN with people saying, wait a second, this is like a civil debate. They're talking about issues. Why couldn't these two be at the top of the ticket? Although I would say with Tim Walz, he shouldn't be anywhere near the ticket. But it was civil. Okay. The discourse was different than the previous debates, and I think that was refreshing.
I agree, and especially in this moment where everything seems to be heightened and hair on fire, it was a good moment for people to hear about positions and policies and records, which, again, if you're undecided, I think there are more than average number of undecided voters because people don't know Kamala Harris, don't like what they know of her, but maybe don't like Donald Trump. So they're trying to figure this out, right? And from a policy perspective, from an are you better off now than you were 4 years ago perspective, you had a real opportunity to listen to that argument last night from J.D. Vance, which was really important. Now, I don't think J.D. Vance should be at the top of the ticket right now, but I'm really excited for the future of the Republican Party. And I think it was a breakout moment for him that people will point back to 4 or 8 years from now. I absolutely believe. And that's very exciting.
I think you're right about that. I'm not having him on this afternoon. My friend, former Senator John Lamping, who is on the show on a regular basis, said basically the same thing. He texted me last night and said, the future is so bright for the GOP if they let it be. J.D., Vivek represent the next generation. They're bright and articulate. And they're likable, right? So that's something I think that is promising. But in the moment here, we got to keep Kamala Harris from being in the White House, and that still worries me right now, Cassie.
But this is the momentum into the last, oh my gosh, what are we, 34 days? This is the momentum that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance need. J.D. Vance is going to go barnstorm the country, and now he's got a whole bunch of momentum with him because this national audience got a chance to see him in his element, supporting Donald Trump, supporting the policies of a Trump administration. And so if you had any doubt because you don't like Trump, the personality, now you can say, but he had really good judgment in choosing this guy. And I'm glad to know that these two together will be in the White House. That's what we need. I need the policies of what I felt 4 years ago and knowing that there is someone who is, I mean, frankly, level-headed. If you're an undecided person, I know there are lots of people out there who want Donald Trump, the warrior for the cause, because we do need a fighter. Literally, our world and our country is on fire right now. Nothing is going right. You can't point to one issue area that is going right now. We need Donald Trump to get in there and get some things under control and throw the guys out who are do nothing.
Well, one of the things I think that was a bit of a miss, I always kind of criticize Republicans on this because this came up with health care last night. And this tends to play well with certainly with, you know, independent voters and people are concerned because of the skyrocketing costs. And they always want to go back to pre-existing conditions. Now, while it's true that the ACA that was passed, you know, when Obama was president, Obamacare, whatever you want to call it, made it illegal for insurers to deny coverage. There's a law that's been in effect since the late 90s that says, and this should be repeated over and over again by Republicans casting, they don't do it. If you have health care, all right, if you've had health care, as long as you don't gap that health care, because think about it, you can gap your health care and then all of a sudden say, hey, let's get new health care when I'm sick. Well, that's been federal law since it's about 30 years that says if you don't gap your health care and your health insurance, you cannot be denied a pre-existing condition. So that's always for me a red herring because it's never clarified.
Mm-hmm. That is, I think that's a really good point. Where I thought you were going with this is I worked on the Hill for a member of Congress who has lots of senior citizens, veterans in our district. But anyway, when we were debating Obamacare in 2008, 2010. And the thing that people forget and that I think Republicans should take ownership of is we were the ones who pushed for coverage for pre-existing conditions. We were the ones who pushed for medical malpractice reform. Two key elements that are actually not bad elements. Everybody agreed with. There was such broad agreement. But those were things that Republicans said, if you even want to have this conversation, it's a non-starter for you to come to the table without those things always in there. So there should be ownership there to say, on the whole, we don't want single-payer healthcare. It's not working. It hasn't worked. But to have that clarity of the things, the elements of this that are working actually are Republican ideas. So to your point, and I think there's something to be said here too on when you got into the abortion conversation, to your point there about the election denial stuff, just call out what is and stop trying to play footsie with the issue because there are things in there that you're losing people by trying to have under all
concern.
Sides and
right.
trying to be like, I'm supposed to be against this when actually there's something in there.
There's legitimate issues that came up from 2020 and you should have some concern moving forward with November, right? But I, you know, at this point, if you want to keep calling it a stolen election, and by the way, the other thing in fairness is you have a whole host and there's like a 20-minute montage that someone put together, that might be a slight exaggeration, of all the Democrats saying that 2016 was not a legitimate election, right? It's not a real election. He's an illegitimate president. But of course, Nora and Margaret didn't want to focus on that last night. What would you say about the equity in our moderators for the last couple of debates? I heard someone was reporting that the Trump team didn't think that was as bad as ABC and David Muir. I think it might have been worse.
Well, to the extent that it wasn't as bad, it was because J.D. Vance stepped in and called it out because it was getting ridiculous. But he was masterful in how he forced the issue to say, no, not only, hey, he didn't just complain that they were putting their thumb on the scale for walls and fact-checking. He was able to come with the receipts and say, because what you're not telling people is the context and just go and talk about the app. And that was what was amazing about it. And when they cut off the mics, it was a weak moment for Walz because they were saving him. And I think everybody saw that. And so for J.D. Vance to turn that into a moment where it says, we know we're going to walk in with the stack decked against us. We know that the best moderators in the world are still going to come in with some sort of bias. Even, God bless them, Fox News, they go over and above to try and be balanced, that they sometimes even do it too. So you have to be that much better on the debate stage as a candidate, and J.D. Vance showed how you do that.
I think so, too. Yeah, absolutely. That was great. All right, Cassie Smedley, Kansas City girl, thank you for coming on. Look, the Chiefs are 4-0. The Royals and the Orioles just started. It's in the first inning, and we'll keep everyone posted on that, but they could take out the Orioles if they win this game and then move to the next round. So congratulations on the Royals making the postseason again, and best of luck. We say that sincerely from St. Louis.
Appreciate that, Mark. We'll say it's a great era for Missouri sports. You guys can share in this with us over in Kansas City.
Absolutely. Look, I'd love to see, you know, this would kind of be old school and going back to the 80s, but I lived in Milwaukee for 10 years. I think the Brewers and the Royals would be a great World Series, but probably will not happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
One can hope. I think that would be fun. I'm with you. The Midwest series, people will love it.
I love it. All right. Thank you, Cassie. We'll talk soon. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, we'll see it. Yeah, I don't know if the Brewers are going to be able to recover because it was funny. We had my friend Bill Michaels on yesterday talking about Pete Rose because he grew up in Cincinnati. And the Brew Crew was winning, and then they pooped the bed later in the day, and they're out if they lose today.
Get more at 971talk.com.